Likut Moran Tanina, Torah Chaf. In our Likut Moran, it's page 50, in the second half of Likut Moran, on the right-hand column, all the way towards the bottom of the column. Rabbi Nisal begins by saying, Al Yidei HaMachlekes Sheyesh Bo'elam, through the conflict, all the different conflicts and fights that take place in the world, Al Yidei Zeh Nasen Mefursamim Kaidam Zmanam. This causes people who become publicized, people who become renowned and well-known, to become publicized before their correct time. Hainu, Rabbi Nizal explains, Ki kishe echot nichnas bavoydas Hashem, when a person starts serving Hashem, hu tzorich lishhois ulehismamea ad sheyisparsem boilam. The person has to go through a waiting period before he can become well known in the world. There has to be an initial period of time where the person is hidden, where during that time when he's first starting to grow, just like the Gemara says, Ein habrocha mitzuya, that the whole concept of blessing only applies to an item that's not seen by the eye, that's not visible. The more hidden an item is, the more blessed it is. And this is why the Gemara says that when it comes to a person's money, for example, money that he has in his pockets, person should avoid being in the habit of carrying, of counting the money often, because the act of counting it, in other words, where he's looking at the item, that alone could subtract bracha at times. Whereas if the person avoids counting, meaning in a sense the count is hidden from him, that alone puts a bracha into the count. And so too, we mentioned many times that a person's maximum hatzlacha, success in serving Hashem, is dependent on the midah of hanava, humbleness. Humbleness means to be hidden, to remain hidden. And therefore, the Rabbi Nizal explains that especially when a person is first starting out in serving Hashem, he has to acknowledge this fact that he has to go through a waiting period, a period of time where he's not known, he's not publicized, he's not talked about by the public, he's not visible to the public eye, period. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Vayidei pigam hamachlekes, and one of the negative results that comes out of a conflict is that nisparsem kaidem zmanoi, people who enter into serving Hashem, who are supposed to become well known at a certain point in time, what happens is they start to become publicized and visible to the public eye before the right time. And what happens is this causes damage and harm to this person who became publicized before the right time. That's one negative aspect of this. That's one type of problem that could come out of this. Or, at times, instead of hurting the individual person who became publicized, what happens is he doesn't get hurt, his derech and avodas Hashem gets hurt. Meaning, Rabbi Nizal is implying here that each and every single person, each and every single Talmud Chacham, or person who's entering into avodas Hashem, who wants to advance, part of his mission is to reveal, to open up new paths in Avodas Hashem. For example, one aspect of this is a person who gets involved in the study of Torah, he advances himself to an extent where he's able to be mechadish in Torah, to be able to come up with new ideas, new revelations in Torah, which give people a new insight into serving Hashem, or a new arousal, a new hisirus, or a new chizuk, a new strengthening that people need to be able to serve Hashem. Rabbi Nizal says, at times, what this pigam in machlekes, what this machlekes will cause is that the person will become publicized before his right time, and as such, he'll be harmed by that, as we're going to explain. Or at times, what will happen is that the path in Avodas Hashem that this person was supposed to introduce to the world, that path will become harmed. And Rabbi Nizal says, when that happens, when that path becomes harmed, then the penalty for those who instigate this damage, these Bali Machlekes, their penalty can be death. At times they can bring upon themselves a death penalty when their Machlekes is the cause of damaging, destroying a new path in Avodas Hashem that could have been revealed by a person. Rabbein Zal says, ulefa'omim, and at times, she'en ha'pegam godel kol kach, when the damage isn't that big, isn't that significant, azai gurmin anias, then what'll happen is, those balei machlekes who did the damage, what'll happen is, they won't die, they'll become poor. The penalty will be poverty. Now we know the Gemara says that a poor man is one of the four different types that's considered almost like a dead person. So that at times the penalty shows itself in actual physical death, at times it causes poverty. The Gemara learns it out from Doson Vaviram, the fact that the Torah says, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go back to Egypt, because those that would want to do you harm are dead. And Rashi, the Gemara explains that it doesn't mean that they were dead, it means that they lost their money, they became poor, and as such, they lost their power to be able to do harm to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because their whole influence on Paroi was because they were wealthy people, they were respected by the king, by Paroi, and he would consider their opinion. Once they became poor, they're no longer respected in any way, their opinion is not acknowledged anymore, so therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had nothing to fear. So we see that Anias is called by the Torah a form of death. So at times, these Balei Machlekes are penalized that they die for this, at times they suffer from Anias. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'zeh hasoid. This secret that we just revealed here, Rabbeinu Zal is implying that what we just told you is a secret piece of information. This secret, Mevor Bahatira, is explained in the Chumash, in Parshas Mishpatim, in a hidden way. The Pasuk says, V'chi notzu anoshim yachtov, if two people will get into a fight in the street, two men will get into a fight in the street, v'nogfu isha hara, and in the process of fighting, pushing and shoving, they'll push a pregnant woman, accidentally one will push the other one into a pregnant woman, rachmona litzlan, v'yotsu yilodeho, and as a result, her children, she's pregnant, she's carrying one child, or possibly more than one child, and chas v'shalom, she'll be mapil the child, she'll miscarry as a result of this push, or this fall that they caused her. And the Torah discusses that depending on whether it's only the children, chas v'shalom, that die as a result of this, or at times, what happens is the pregnant woman, chas v'shalom, can also die as a result. This is what determines what the penalty is. If it's only the children that die, then the penalty is a monetary penalty. They pay a certain amount of money. If chas v'shalom, the pregnant woman dies, then the penalty is a death penalty. Now Rabbeinu Zal explains, Ki kishemaschil lichnois la'eze derech, when a Jew enters into a certain path of serving Hashem, bechinas Rabbeinu Zal says, "Bechinas heroyoin." It's a when a Jew enters into a certain path in avodas Hashem, who bechinas heroyoin. At that time, the person is classified as being in a state of pregnancy. V'tzorech lihis aleim shom, and the person must hide himself over there. He has to be very careful at the offset to be as hidden as possible. Bebechinas ibur, in a concept of pregnancy. Pregnancy means where the child is completely covered from sight. We see that Hashem has put it in the nature of the creation of a new human being, that when a new human being is being introduced into the world, the initial period, which is called the period of pregnancy, that human being, that embryo, is completely hidden from sight at first, when it first starts growing. And it's only as it starts developing more and more that it becomes visible a little bit at a time. We see this visibility has to be in a controlled way. Ki adayin lo nizgale ze haderech boilam. Because this path which this person is looking to open up in Avodas Hashem has not yet been revealed to the world. Rakhu nichnas l'shom l'galoisei. This person is entering into this path to reveal it. In other words, any person who's like an innovator, that's the term here, a person who's going to be innovating a new path in Avodas Hashem, he's going to be opening up new doors in the world to Avodas Hashem. By him, the path that he's looking to open up, until he opens it up, it's classified as being hidden, closed, or non-existent. He's looking to create a derech to go into a forest where there's all trees, there's no path there whatsoever, and he's looking to start chopping out trees and making a new path. Va'azai hu bechinas heroyoin. as such at that time, he's classified as being in a state of pregnancy. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Mishlei bederech chachma hayri sicha. Hashem says, I taught you the path of wisdom. Note, it uses the word hayri sicha, which is miloshen hayra'a, to teach. The word hayri sicha is also miloshen hayrayon, pregnancy. Bechinas hayrayon, Rabbi Nizal says, this is a concept of pregnancy. Fitzorich lishhois shom, and the person has to wait there, ule hismameya, and to bide his time, lechameim atzmoy shom, to warm himself in that place, kemoy ubar bimeeimoy, just as an embryo in its mother's womb, ad sheyagia hazman sheyetze lavir hoylam, until the correct point in time comes along when he's ready to go out into the air of the world. Legalois zeh derech boilam, until the person is ready to open up, to take off the cover and reveal this path to the world. And when a child, when an embryo comes out of its mother's womb before the right time, zebechinas nefel, that's called chas v'shalom a bechina of nefel. Upigam ze nase al yedei machlekes kanal. Rabbi Nizal says, this pigam is caused through machlekes. Whenever there's a wrong type of machlekes in the world, one of the items that it affects, chas v'shalom, one of the repercussions is that it causes these people who should be in a position to open up new drachim and avodas Hashem in the world to become nefel, bechinas nefel. V'zeh bechinas, Rabbi Nizal says, this is what's meant in the pasuk when it says, v'chi notzu anoshim yachdov, if two people will get into a fight, Rabbi Nizal says, hainu machlekes, that's a concept of machlekes. Al yedei zeh, and through that, what happens? V'nokfu isho horo v'yotzu yilodeho. What happens is, hainu bechinas hamefursomim shenasim koidem zmanom. This refers to those people who become people of reputation before their right time. Shehim bechinas nefelim kanal. They are this concept of a nefel, a miscarriage, something that came out before it was fully ripened, chas v'shalom. V'oinsham misa oyoini. These bali machlekes, their penalty is death or poverty. Now note, what's the most outstanding example of bali machlekes in the world? Doson va'aviram. They are the first, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring, I believe it's the Shulchan Kodesh whom it's brought from, who says that in every single generation, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and on, if you ever see Bali Machlekes in the world, people who by nature are always getting into fights, they have a nitzutz, a spark of Doson Vaviram in them, because they were the first Bali Machlekes, Mecharche Riv, troublemakers, people who went looking to stir up a rift between people, to stir up a rift between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paroi, between Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach, between the Jews and Moshe Rabbeinu at that time, constantly looking to stir up a rift. And we see, what was their penalty? The Torah says, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go back because they have died. So we see that the penalty for this Bali Machlekes is this Miso or Oini, one of the two. We see that they started off their first round, they were penalized by poverty. The second round, in the battle of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu, they were actually killed, they actually died, because they tried to stir up this machlekes. They tried to bring somebody to be mefarsim, somebody before his right time. Who was the somebody?
Korach. Levim was supposed to wait until the future for their glory.
No, that's part of it. But Rashi HaKodesh says right on the spot, quoting the Gemara, what made Korach think that he stood a chance against Moshe Rabbeinu? Korach had Ruach HaKodesh. Korach wasn't a little kid. Korach saw into the future that there was going to come forth from him one who was going to be equal to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen combined. Who was that? Shmuel Hanovi, about whom the pasuk says, Moshe the Aaron b'chayanov, uShmuel b'kayrei Shemoi, that put Moshe Rabbeinu on one, Moshe and Aaron on one side of the scale, put Shmuel Hanovi on the other side, he tips them off, because he was, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi, Aaron HaKohen was a Kohen, Shmuel Hanovi was a Kohen and Novi rolled up into one. Korach saw this, and he thought, I see that my family is going to have greatness coming from it. Why don't I take a shot at it now? What was his mistake? He didn't see incorrectly. He was right that from his family was supposed to come forth greatness. It's just that he had to bide his time. He had to be patient. It wasn't him. It was going to come in a later generation. And if he just would have waited, things would have been fantastic. He didn't. The penalty was the Misa and the Oini. They and all their possessions were swallowed up. This combination of the Anius and the death that came about as a result of this. So Rabbein Ezal says, V'chinot zanoshim yachtov haynu machlekes aydei zeh v'nok v'yishar v'yatziladeh haynu v'chinas samafur samayim sh'nazim kodem zmanom shem v'chinas nefeilim kanal. V'oin shom, the penalty is Misa Oini l'fi apigam kanal. According to how much damage they do, they're penalized either with poverty or death. This is what the pasuk goes on to explain over there. Imlo yihye osoin, if there won't be an accident, meaning, Pirush Rashi, Rashi HaKadosh explains, Be'isha, if the woman herself, the pregnant mother, will not be harmed. Hainu shelo yafsidu v'yikalkalu es haderech hachochma bi'atzmai, that these balei machlekes, if their damage is such that they don't destroy the path of wisdom, they only destroy the individual who is trying to go on the path of wisdom. If that's the result, note, Rabbein Ezal is comparing the path of wisdom, he's referring to that as the mother, and the individual tzaddik, or Talmud Chacham, or Jew, who's trying to go on that path, is being referred that to as these embryos within the mother's womb. The mother represents the path of wisdom, Ki aim labino tikra, in other words, woman is this concept of al titoish tairas imecha. The woman represents this path of Torah, this teaching. And the embryos inside, the small children inside, represent the people who are trying to open up this new path. So if the mother isn't harmed, meaning the derech chachma isn't harmed, shubachinas isha hara, which is being referred to as this pregnant woman, kanal, as we said before, rak yafsidu hanafelim, they only cause damage to the embryos, to these small the babies inside, dahainu ho anoshim bi'atzmom, shenisparsimu v'yotzu b'olam kaidam zmanom. What happens is those small children inside, who should not yet have come out to the world, they're revealed before their right time. This concept of a piercing coming to one who's not supposed to be revealed yet, Rabbein Ezal explains now, kikemoi shebi'isho hara, just as by the pregnant woman, kishenoik fenoisa, when somebody bumps into her, chas v'sham, and pushes her, ad shemapelas nefelim, to the extent where it causes her to miscarry, yesh beis bechinois, we know that it could cause one of two catastrophes. One, it could happen, it could result in one of two things. Dahainu, at times, dahainu, shelefa omim, at times, he mafsedes hanefelim levadom, she miscarries the children, the babies alone, she loses them as a result of them coming out before their right time. And at times, gam ho isha hora bi'atzma nizekis ayidei zev and istalka. At times, we hear of an accident, chas v'shem, a pregnant woman gets into an accident where the babies she miscarries, and as a result, it's done in such a violent way that she, as a result of the miscarriage, she herself dies also. The miscarriage is so traumatic that she dies from it, physically, shock, or whatever it is. Kemoi kein bebechinas hanal. Rabbein Ezal said we have this exact concept beruchnis. Dehainu, meaning, shelefa omim, at times, nifsodin ho anoshim bi'atzmon. At times, the people themselves become destroyed. Shenisparsamu koidem zmana, meaning these people who became publicized, who became revealed, renowned, before it was the correct time for them to become revealed and renowned. Shehem bechinas nefelim. They become revealed at a wrong time, and they become these miscarried children, chas v'shalom, where they die as a result. Aval adayin lo nistalei kaderech chochma bi'atzmoi. But the path of wisdom, which they were about to introduce to the world, hasn't been destroyed, hasn't been eliminated completely. At times, rak hanafelim levad, only these babies, meaning these children who were first starting out on this path, who are looking to open this path, they're destroyed, but the path of wisdom still is in this state where it could be brought out by somebody else. V'yicholin acherim lehisaber shom, and other children can now be created anew within the womb of this pregnant woman, bebechinas heroyin, in this concept of pregnancy, kemoi b'moshol ishahara kanal, as the example of a woman. There are times where a woman miscarries, to the extent that, true, she loses these babies, but she's able to have children subsequently. So she has new babies that come into the same womb and come out, and everything's okay. Rabbi Nadal says, so too, at times, through this piersum, it's only the individuals who become nisparsim that go lost, but the pregnant woman, the derech hachochma, is still there. For somebody else to come there, a new person to come there and try to work it out, try to innovate it and introduce it to the world. Ulefamim, whereas at times, nifsad gam haderech chochma biatzmai, the path of wisdom itself, which was about to be introduced and about to be revealed and opened up, presented to the world, at times that's what gets destroyed, ba'ifim to an extent, she'afilu ish acher eino yochei lichnois l'sham, that no other person, it's destroyed to the extent that nobody else can ever come there again. The bechinas heroyin, in this form of pregnancy, in other words, the woman miscarries to an extent where she can't have another baby, chas v'sholom, bechinas heroyin, legalis lo'itzisa derech lo'ilam, for a new person to come there and reintroduce this new path into the world. This corresponds to the concept of the pregnant woman dying. According to how much of a defect is caused, that's what determines how severe a penalty these Balei Machlokes are given. As is written over there in Parshas Mishpatim. What does it say over there? Im lo yihyeh osayin bo isha, if the woman, the pregnant woman herself, remains alive, then the people who got into this fight, who caused her to miscarry her babies, they have to pay the value of the babies. The Torah tells us how to put a monetary value on these babies. Hainu anius, this refers to poverty. They have to become poorer. We penalize them. We give them a fine. We issue a fine so that we subtract from their money. Hainu anius shenasek shena pagam godel kol kachana. This refers to the poverty which is caused by the pagam not being that great. Ve'im yihia osayin boisha. But if the pregnant woman herself, chas v'shalom, dies, shegormu lahafsid gam haderech biatzmei kanal, meaning that the path of wisdom itself is destroyed, azai then, venosato nefesh tachas nefesh. Then the Torah says that the penalty is a life for a life. Hainu misa kanal. This refers to death, chas v'shalom. Rabbi Nazal adds, Hashem yatzilenu. May Hashem protect us from this dangerous, dangerous thing called machlokes, rachmana litzlan.
Is there any specific factor where a person could tell if a certain Baal Machlokes has crossed a certain line of whether he is actually now destroying the derech that the tzaddik has been instituting, and not only against the tzaddik himself?
I don't know. Rabbi Nizal doesn't mention it, and unfortunately on this term in Kutimran, I wasn't able to find anything written. I found one small item. Not one small, we shouldn't say, there's one paragraph in the Likutei Halachos, in Chesh Mishpat, that deals with this Torah in Likutei Moran. Possibly, the problem is that paragraph is intertwined very much in a big, big halacha in Likutei Halachos over there, and it's hard to be able to extract it and just explain what Rav Nosson Zal says over there. But it seems that there isn't that much elaboration on this. It's just that Rabbi Nazal is alerting us to a secret. Number one, to inform us how dangerous this item of machlekes is, that it could, chas v'shalom, bring upon the ones who instigate it. It could bring either poverty, just as the Gemara uses the Lashon Rebbe's, I used to say this many times, one machlekes is deicha 1,000 or 1,000 parnosos. Is that machlekes, any people that get involved in machlekes, chas v'shalom, it has a very powerful, it has a tendency to affect the parnosa very, very much. Just as the Gemara says, l'imotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu kli machzik brocha ala ha-sholim. So it's understood that if sholim is the kli machzik brocha, machlekes knocks out the parnosa. It brings anius, it brings this poverty, rachmona litzlan, or at times it brings death upon a person. That's one major item that Rabbi Nizal is presenting in this Torah. The other major item that Rabbi Nizal is presenting is the significance of this hiddenness. How much of an Eitzah Tov it is for a person to, especially when he's first starting out, meaning each and every person has to be able to judge at which point he's still considered in the Aschola, where he hasn't really gotten anywhere yet. He's still considered in the beginning stages. At that point, he has to be a real Boreach Min HaKavod. He has to be very, very careful to try to avoid Pirsum as much as he possibly can. Because Rabbeinu Zal implies that there's tremendous Sakona. The Pirsum brings about a tremendous Sakona if it's at the wrong time. If it's not the right time yet, if the person is revealed, he becomes a nephil as a result. And especially, a person whose mission it is to introduce a new derech and avodas Hashem, he's in a more dangerous position, much more dangerous, where he has to avoid machlekes tremendously. He has to be very, very careful to watch himself, to be able to, in other words, v'yisam nekiyam elikim u'meyodam, to watch himself that he shouldn't give people an excuse to be able to make machlekes against him, because chas v'shalom, it could affect him. It could cause him to become a nefil chas v'shalom, or it could cause a complete destruction to the whole derech and avodas Hashem that he was going to introduce. Now, where do we have an outstanding example of this? The Arizal. We have an example in the Arizal, for example, who was a tremendous tzaddik, who was opening up, introducing new drachim, new paths of wisdom, of avodas Hashem into the world. And at one point in time, he told his Talmidim that he has a shot at bringing Moshiach. What is Moshiach? What is Moshiach's name in the Gemara? What is Moshiach called? What's one of his nicknames? Bar Nafli, the son of the Nephil. Who's the Nephil? Which person is the master of Kavod, Pirsum? The Melech, the Yavoi Melech HaKavod. The Torah tells us that Dovra Melech was supposed to be born a Nephil. He was supposed to die before, he was supposed to not live, period. And Odom HaRishon and Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who saw that this neshama of Odom HaRishon had no years to it, they were kind enough to give of their life. Odom HaRishon was supposed to live 1,000 years. He only lived 930 years because he was the first one to present Dovra Melech with 70 years, the 70 years that Dovra Melech actually ended up living. What happened was, because of the fact that the years of Odom HaRishon were defective in a sense, the Meforshim tell us that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the tikkun for Odom HaRishon. The act of Odom HaRishon eating from the Eitz Hadas constituted a pigam in Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shpichas Domim. It constituted an idol worship, and that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, V'sartem, if a Jew turns away from Hashem, even the slightest turn, V'avadetem elikim acherim, it constitutes an act of idol worship. So by Odom HaRishon going against the command of Hashem, where Hashem said not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, Odom HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, that was a form of Avodah Zarah. Shpichas Domim, murder, Odom HaRishon was the first one to introduce death into the world. It was as a result of his eating from the Eitz Hadas that death came into the world, the Mavis. Gilui Arayos, the concept of a pigam in dealings between husband and wife, the Meforshim point out that the act of Odom HaRishon eating from the Eitz Hadas is what caused him to have relations with Chava before Shabbos arrived. And the Zohar HaKadosh, the Arizal, point out that had Odom HaRishon waited with his Zivuk, if he would have waited till Friday night for it to be the first time he was born on Friday, he was created on Friday, had he waited till Shabbos to be able to have relations with Chava, it would have been a tremendous, tremendous tikkun for the world. The fact that he didn't wait, that was part of what resulted in the whole Golos and everything that we're going through now. And this is classified as an aspect of Pegam HaBris, of adultery on the part of Odom HaRishon. This tiny, tiny defect in his zivug between himself and his wife. The fact that he didn't wait the proper amount of time. So that it's presented in a way where Odom HaRishon is considered having committed a pigam of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shpichas Domim, all rolled into one, which are considered the three worst sins in the Torah. The Meforshim point out that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Avos HaKadoshim, they were the tikkun for Odom HaRishon. Just as the Gemara says, Shufrei de Yaakov, ke'en Shufrei de Odom HaRishon, that the beauty of Yaakov Avinu, the face of Yaakov Avinu, resembled that of Odom HaRishon. And the Sifrei Kabbalah say that's not, the Gemara isn't just telling us about his physical appearance. The Gemara is hinting to us that Yaakov Avinu represented the tikkun for Odom HaRishon. So too with Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. Avram Avinu, who was the one who was misaking the pegam of Avodah Zarah, in the fact that the Torah writes about him, he was Reish Lema'aminim, Ve'he'emin Bashem. He was the first one to introduce Emuna into the world. Avram Ha'ivri, to challenge the whole world, to introduce faith into the world. He was the one who cleaned up the pegam of Avodah Zarah. Yitzchak Avinu is the one who was the tikkun for the begam of Shvichas Domim, death, murder, bringing death into the world, through his willingness, showing a willingness to be put to death for the kavod of Hashem, to fulfill the command of Hashem. He represented the tikkun for this Shvichas Domim, this act of bringing murder into the world. And Yaakov Avinu, who was the first forefather of the Jews to bring forth a mito shlema, a pure bed, as it's called, where each one of his children that came from him were completely pure. No Yishmael came from him, no Esav came from him. And he was able to say about his firstborn son, Reish Yisaini, that this was the first seed that came from him, implying that he was completely pure. As such, Yaakov Avinu is classified as the tikkun for the pegam of Gilui Arayis, of Adam Arishon. Therefore, because of the fact that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov represented the tikkun for Adam Arishon, it's brought that they also gave 70 years of their lives to fill up the gap in the years that Adam Arishon had given to David HaMelech. Those 70 years which Adam Arishon gave to David HaMelech, although he gave them to him, they were a little bit defective. And it was only when Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov also gave 70 years, that's what made the 70 years of Adam Arishon really be a valid 70 years. And this is shown in the fact that each one of the Avos HaKadoshim it's brought was supposed to live 180 years. Because we find that Yitzchak Avinu actually did live 180 years. So that if Avram Avinu was the father of Yitzchak Avinu, Avram Avinu should certainly have lived as long as his son. He was certainly as big a tzaddik as Yitzchak Avinu. And yet we find that Avram Avinu only lived 175 years, implying that he gave up 5 of his years to Adam Arishon. Yitzchak Avinu gave up nothing. There are reasons why Yitzchak Avinu didn't give any years to David HaMelech. Yaakov Avinu lived to 147 years, whereas he should have lived. Yitzchak Avinu didn't give up any years. Yaakov Avinu lived to be 147 years old. Now, once Avram Avinu had given up 5 years of his life, Yaakov Avinu rightfully could have lived as long as Avram Avinu, and that would have been okay. So that Avram Avinu lived to be 175 years old, and Yaakov Avinu only lived to 147, that reflects a difference of 28 years, implying that Yaakov Avinu gave up 28 of his years. So that Yaakov Avinu's 28 plus Avram Avinu's 5 gives us 33 years, leaves a remainder of 37 years. This is why we find that Yosef HaTzadik lived to be 110 years old. His father, Yaakov Avinu, had lived to be 147. He only lived to be 110, implying that he gave up 37 of his years to fill the 70 years of David HaMelech. So we see that David HaMelech was called this Nephil. Moshiach, the Gemara says, is called Bar Nafli. Bar Nafli means the son of the Nephil. Bar in Hebrew also means many times the. Bar Nafli means the Nephil, so that Moshiach himself, in many ways, is called a Nephil, a child, because Moshiach represents this super Melech HaKavod, this one who's going to introduce the newest innovations in Avodas Hashem that ever hit this world. And therefore, he's one who's in a very, very dangerous predicament, where his whole coming is dependent on the tikkun of this machlekes. This is why the Zohar Kodesh says, if one group of people get together and unite and don't have any machlekes among them whatsoever, Moshiach will come, because Moshiach is the one who represents this nefel, this one who's going to be introducing a new derech hachachma, the newest revelations in Torah, in Avodas Hashem. As such, any machlekes chas v'shalom could cause this pirsum to come before its right time, in a sense, chas v'shalom, and could cause chas v'shalom this damage whereby Moshiach cannot come, whereby this derech and Avodas Hashem cannot be revealed at the time that we would want to, at the time that it's supposed to.
Yeah,
So you have to have a lack of machlekes in order for Mashiach to come properly.
Exactly. So, you have to have the tikkun for the machlekes. In other words, the key to Mashiach's coming is the avoidance of machlekes. If people are put to a test where there would be a potential for machlekes, and they avoid the machlekes, they pass the test completely, that's what could set the stage for Mashiach's coming.
Is that why you said before Mashiach comes, it'll be on one side or the other side? I mean, within the individual groups, there won't be machlekes, but you'll have people teamed up on either side? Because we said when Mashiach comes, everybody will be either on one side or on the other.
What do you mean?
As far as it'll
become more obvious. People won't be in the middle. They'll be drawn to one side or another. Correct.
So that show a lack of machlekes, because we said that you need a lack.
To a degree. But further, the Zohar Kodesh says it takes one specific group to be able to see to it that there should be a group that's serving Hashem, and if they can eliminate any and all machlekes from inside of them, the Zohar Kodesh says Mashiach will come. Why? In this Torah Lekut Amran, you have the whole secret. The answer is because the whole presentation, the whole tikkun for this Bar Nafli, for Moshiach, for Dovra Melech, is totally in this avoidance of machlekes. Whereas the fact that it says here that the results, the damage that comes from it, is either anius, poverty, or death, chas v'shalom, this hints to the poverty, the yakrus that the Gemara says is going to take place before the coming of the Mashiach. Because there'll be so much machlekes in the world, that's what causes the inflation, that's what causes people to be very poor, chas v'shalom, to have all the difficulties that they have in Parnassa, rachmanu
l'tzlan. There's also a reason possibly why Mashiach's coming is dependent totally on it being hidden. In other words, nobody, you know, how to calculate his time. It's got to be Hezek HaDa'as totally.
Most definitely. In other words, it shows that it's dependent, that there is this concept of this Ibur, that during the time right before it's introduced, it must be hidden. The Gemara says, Ein ben David bo ela beHezek HaDa'as. This Hesach Hadas means this Ibor, where people don't see. It's hidden and suddenly he's there. Rabbeinu Zal says, Metret Moshiach, Moshiach, on Ot Yizer. People will be talking, Moshiach, Moshiach, and they won't really, and suddenly he'll be right there, and it'll come as such a shock to them. Because although they were saying, we want Moshiach, now it was words without the real feeling, without really, really understanding what they're saying and validating it. And so that when he does come, it'll still be with a Hesach Hadas, with a tremendous Hesach Hadas. And you see how in Rabbeinu Zal's words, Rabbeinu Zal doesn't seem to discuss that at all, and yet Rabbeinu Zal's Torah can be used as an explanation for the deepest mysteries of the Torah, you know, to really be able to clarify why it is this way. Why does the Gemara zero in on this item, that right before the coming of the Mashiach, the biggest problem will be the category of Shebein Tamid HaChamim, the machlekes among the religious ones. Why? Because that's the only thing that the Satan could put up to be able to block Moshiach's coming, to be able to postpone Moshiach's coming, to delay it. If not for this one item, we could have the achishena, the speed, Moshiach coming before the appointed time. The one thing that keeps delaying it from being able to come until the actual appointed time is this machlekes in the world, rachmanu
l'tzlan.
What is
it before you learn the Torah, it's a shaykh la'al fitz chadash, isn't it?
That this is related to something that's brought in the Sefer Amidos. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Torah Chof Aleph from the Likutei Moran Tanina. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Kishemechad shen chidushei Torah," when a person introduces new ideas in Torah into the world, new chidushim, things that aren't found in other sforim, a new thought in Torah, a new pshat, a new remez, a new drush. Va'azai yesh elu hayiduim. There are those whom we know about. We don't want to mention them by name. This refers, rachmanu l'tzlan, to the klipos, the sultan, the whole power of the sitra achra. Hamistaklim, who watch closely, umitzapim alzeh, and they wait for this very anxiously. They wait for a new chiddush in Torah to be brought into the world, because their whole yenika, their whole sustenance, comes from Torah also. So that when a new item of Torah is being introduced into the world, it's as if that's a very juicy morsel that they're looking to latch onto and to be able to get the first shot at it. V'tzorech lahamid anshei chayil. Rabbi Nezal says the one who's bringing these chidushei Torah into the world has to place soldiers. Lahamidon, to place these soldiers, lifnehem ulaachrehem, in front of and in back of these chidushei Torah, kidei shelo yiskarev zor, so that no stranger, so that no one who should not be allowed to come to this Torah, to draw from it, should be able to. Rabbi Nezal says, v'zeh nasal yidei limud ha-poiskim. This act of being able to station soldiers in front of and in back of your chidushei Torah to protect them from the klipos, being able to draw from them, from these forces of tumah, being able to suck on this and draw from this in a manner that would be wrong for them, this is accomplished through the learning of Shulchan Aruch. Paiskim means the halacha lamaisa, getting to know the final word in halacha. Shetzorech lulmoid paiskim koidem achidushim achadesh v'acharkach. A person who's in a position to be mechadesh in Torah is obligated to learn Shulchan Aruch, psak halacha, before he's being mechadesh in Torah and after he's being mechadesh in Torah. And this learning of halacha, of Shulchan Aruch, is what causes a stationing of these soldiers. This is what serves as a protection around the person's chidushei Torah. And when it's done in this manner, the Torah that this person is going to be mechadesh is able to walk very calmly among them, among this tumah and klipos, without being touched. It's protected. It has this protection on both sides from these soldiers. Rabbi Nezal says, "Ki ha'anshei chayil oimdim im ha'klei zayin." These soldiers stand with their klei zayin, with their tools of war, the swords and the spears and the guns and everything. Ve'enom yechaylim elu hanal lehiskarev. And as a result, these klipos, these forces of tumah, which would want to draw from these new chidushei Torah specifically, are not able to draw from them. Now note, here again, chidushei Torah means something new. Just as when a child comes into the world, the first 30 days that the child is in the world, the child is in a matzav of sakona. While it's new, it's very dangerous. It's more susceptible to be harmed. And it has to be protected much more so. You don't take the child outside into the air because of the germs in the air. The question is, if there's germs in the air, why do we walk outside? The answer is, when you're first born, when a child is first born, it's in this matzav of sakana, where it's much more dangerous and it has to be much more protected. Once the child starts growing, starts aging, the aging alone gives it the strength to be able to stand on its own. Rabbi Nezal says, therefore, anybody who's going to be mechadesh in Torah, where he's bringing these new children into the world in a sense, he has to put this protective coating around the Torah in order to be able to protect it from being harmed by these germs. These germs representing these klipos and tumah. The protection is the limud of halacha, paisek. That's the birur of tayv from ra. That's what serves as a soldier to be able to protect. Now note, soldier is an inyan of din, judgment, harshness, dina de malchusa dina, to be able to stand and protect with a sword or whatever that is. Halacha, it's brought that the word halacha is the same letters as the term hakala. Because just as halacha is the final word, it's the bottom line within a limud, so too the malchus is the bottom line. This kala, the Shabbos malchusa, is the bottom line within the spheros, within the characteristics of Hashem. The malchus is considered to be the bottom line in a sense, just as the halacha is the bottom line of the limud. And so too, just as Rabbi Nezal here is referring to surrounding the chidushei Torah with limud of paiskim, what's another form of this limud of paiskim? What is the limud of paiskim? That's the tachlis of Torah, right? Psak halacha is the final step, the untish the shura, in the learning of Torah. What's another item that's the tachlis of Torah? Tefillah. We have no breslover here now. Tefillah. The tachlis of Torah is tefillah. So that tefillah also, note the wording Rabbi Nezal uses here. Ha'anshei chayil oimdim im ha'klei zayin. Rabbi Nezal brought in Torah based on the Kutaman Iker Klei Zainoi Shel Moshiach Hu Tfila. Again, Moshiach is going to be the one to introduce these Chidushei Torah. The whole concept of Moshiach is a concept of Hischatshus, chidushim. Ani hayoim yiladeticha, a concept of being newborn. Moshiach is this ani hayoim yiladeticha, this is chachus, chidushe Torah. Moshiach is the one whose ikar kleizaino is tefillah, so that a synonym for the limud of halacha is tefillah. Those two items are both classified as the tachlis of Torah. When does a person know that he really knows the Torah that he's learned well? When he's able to convert it into tefillah. That's when he's gotten to the final step, the final stage of the learning of Torah. Just as when does a person know he's gotten to the final stage of learning Torah? When he knows the halacha psukah. This is why Rabbi Nezal said, davenin unlernin undavenin, to sandwich the learning with tefillah in front, tefillah in back. This is the Anshei Chayil that stands and protects the Chidushei Torah. This term tefillah and the limud of halacha are both the same, because tefillah is again called malchus, emuna. Tefillah is called malchus, which is this hakala, this halacha, this kala, both the same thing. Baruch Hashem. Hold it over here for now. Torah Chof Beis. Rabbi Nezal says, Be'inyin ha'achno toyim ho'olam harbe. Regarding the topic of hachno, which is another term for humbleness, the world makes a very big mistake. Rabbi Nezal explains, Kehaloi kamo onu miyagen atzmenu ba'avoidois ubetfila. How much struggling do we do in doing mitzvahs and in davening to Hashem? To be able to pull ourselves out of meichen de katnus into meichen de gadlus. These terms, meichen de katnus and meichen de gadlus, are very fancy words that are used by the Arizal and other Sifrei Kabbalah. The simplest explanation of them that we could possibly, simplest translation that we could use, meichen de katnus means a low frame of mind. Meichen de gadlus means a high frame of mind, being in a very good mood, an expansion of the mind, a happy state of mind, whereas meichen de katnus means a depression or a sadness or a constricted frame of mind, bechlal. So Rabbi Nezal says, how much effort do we put into struggling to try do mitzvahs and tefillah, for which one of the main reasons for doing this is to get ourselves out of meichen de katnus into meichen de gadlus? V'imkein, and if that's the case, it's impossible sheyihyeh ha'achno b'pshitus, that this concept of humbleness should be just simply lowering yourself. Lowering yourself implying lowering yourself into a meichen de katnus. That's what the simple translation seems to imply. And yet it's impossible that that's what it means. K'imkein, because if that's the case, hu nichna l'katnus. If you're lowering yourself, where are you going into? Lowering yourself from on top to on bottom means going from Meichen de Gadlus into Meichen de Katnus. I thought one of the whole main reasons for doing mitzvahs and for davening was to go up, to rise from Meichen de Katnus into Meichen de Gadlus. V'al-Korchoch, Lav Kolodom, V'al-Kain, and therefore Rabbi Nezal says, Lav Kolodom, Yochel Lihiyos Onov Koroi. I'm sorry, V'al-Kain, and therefore, Behechrach, Sheyesh bozeh das, it must be, it's obvious that there's a tremendous seichel involved in this. There's a tremendous seichel in understanding the true definition of the word humbleness or modesty. Rabbi Nezal says, V'al kainin, therefore, lav kolodom yochoy lihiyos onov koroi. Not every person is capable of being a truly humble person. Rak Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholem Hu Hayo Onov Mikol Ha'odom Asher Al Pnei Adama. It's only Moshe Rabbeinu who was zeiche to be called by Hashem Onov, the most modest person out of all the different people that are in the world. V'Rabbi Seinu Zichronim Vracha, our rabbis, Koru La'anovo She'enoi Koroi, they referred to a modesty, an improper type of modesty, to as Chanufa. They called it chanufa, which is called flattery, which is one of the most dirty words within a Jew's character. Because the Gemara tells us that there are four types of people who are not zeicha to get to have anything to do with the Shechina. They are never zeicha to get to see the Shechina. How do we have the key? What's the code to be able to remember these four people, the light of the Shechina in the Navi Yechezkel is called Chashmal. The light of the Shechina is called Chashmal. The four types of people about whom the Gemara says they're the antithesis of the light of the Shechina, and as a result they will not be zeicher to get to see the light of the Shechina, are the Ches stands for Chanufa, people who practice flattery. The Shin stands for Sheker, people who tell lies. The Mem stands for Mesapre Lashon Hara, people who tell Lashon Hara. And the Lamed stands for Leitzonos, people who make the wrong types of jokes. They make jokes about Hashem or jokes about religion. So that we see Chanufa, flattery, where a person makes himself small and he makes other people big in a certain kind of way, that constitutes one of the worst sins, where the penalty is that he won't be zecher to get to see the light of the Shechina. Rabbeinu Zal says here that the Torah calls an improper type of humbleness, the Torah calls it chanufa. Kamaisham Razal, as the Gemara tells us in Saita, al Yirmiyahu Anovi, about the Novi Yirmiyahu, shehoya onov neged hanovi sheker chananya. Yirmiyahu Anovi showed a modesty, a humbleness, a lowering of himself to a Navi Sheker called Chananya. Because what happened was, Yirmiyahu Navi said a certain prophecy, and then Chananya said a comparable type of prophecy, V'omar aloi bahachno, omein kenya se Hashem. And Yirmiyahu Navi, instead of lashing out and smashing this Chananya, who was a false prophet, Yirmiyahu Navi subjugated himself to him and said, omein, yes, may Hashem do as you have spoken. For Omar Azal Alzeh, and the Gemara says about this, Kol Hamachnif, that any person who flatters his enemy, one whom he's not supposed to flatter, L'soif Neufel Biad Benoi. What happens is, he falls into the hands of his son, or as the Gemara shows, in this case it was the hands of his grandson, how somehow Yirmiyahu Navi suffered at the hands of the grandson of this Chananya. So we see that the Torah despises this item called Chanufa. What is Chanufa? Chanufa is another word for Anova, it seems. Chanufa means where I'm humbling myself. I'm making myself small to you. I'm making myself, by flattering somebody else, by saying, oh, you're so wise and so good, I'm implying that I'm such a dummy. I'm putting this person up and thereby putting myself down, which here the Torah seems to despise tremendously. So that Rabbeinu Zal implies, it takes a tremendous, tremendous wisdom for a person to be zeicher to get to know what's called anova dikdusha, how to really be able to tell what is anova dikdusha. We find, as Rabbeinu Zal explains in another place, that the tachlis ha-anova, the most outstanding example of real modesty, is when a person is so perfectly modest that he's able to say about himself that he's the most modest person in the world, and yet retain that title of being the most modest person in the world. Meaning that even in making a statement which would seem to be the epitome of arrogance, he can say that and yet still be in a 100% perfect state of anova. Who is that? Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, who was able to write the words into the Torah, I am the most modest person out of everybody that ever lived. And the fact that those words are written into the Torah shows that they're true. The Torah's emes, but also not Torah's emes, the Torah is called truth. That, Rabbeinu Zal says, is the epitome of modesty. Just as we find by certain other leading tzaddikim that the Gemara describes at the end of Masechta Saita, Rav Yosef, the Gemara says that one rabbi once stood up and said that from the time that this and this rabbi passed away, there is no longer any modesty in the world. The Gemara says, up went Rav Yosef and said, don't say that. Don't say that modesty has left the world, de'ika ano, because I'm still in the world. And if I'm here, it means there's tremendous modesty in the world. Now here again, the fact that the Gemara writes this in a complimentary way implies that Rav Yosef was so perfect in modesty that he was able to stand up in front of a crowd of Rabbonim and say that I am very, very modest, and it should be 100% valid and true about him. Just as we find by Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal told his Talmidim about his greatness, and he was able to do this, yet retaining this title of perfect modesty. Now, we once mentioned before, if you recall, that in the Likutei Halachos in one place, Rav Moshe Zal gives a fantastic shiur showing how this whole concept of being able to figure out what's called the right kind of modesty, what's the opposite of modesty? What word is the opposite of modesty? Mm-hmm. Gaiva is a term that we're used to in terms of of an opposite, an antonym to modesty. What's another word? What's another nickname for modesty? Baishes ponim. A person who's very shy. That's another word for modest. Baishes ponim leganeden. As ponim legehenim. Azus is the opposite of anova. A person who's humble is usually bashful. He doesn't speak with an arrogance. As ponim is a person who speaks up in front of somebody that's older than him or smarter than him, or he shows an arrogance towards somebody who's bigger than him. That kind of thing. So azus is the opposite of anova. Rav Moshe Zal writes that this concept of being able to distinguish between anova dekdusha and anova psula is the whole secret of the avoda of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, where he took two izim. The Torah says he took two goats. One was laHashem, one was laAzazel. One was to Hashem, one was the holiest offering that was ever brought in the whole year for the Jewish nation. It represented the complete forgiveness for all the sins that the Jews had committed for the whole year. And the other one was La'azazel, to the Satan. The word La'azazel is Ze La'umas Ze Oso Likim. This is the exact opposite of the Sora Lashem. It represented the lowest tumor. This is the bone that's being thrown to the Satan, in a sense, as a pacifier to calm him. The Torah says that these two have to be identical, the exact height, the exact look and everything. Why? This was to teach the people the secret that there is this Aes and this Aes, these two types of Azus, this Anova Dikdusha and Anova Psula, the Chanufa, which seems to be a modesty, and it's the Tachlis Hagaiva. That's the worst Az Ponim is a Chaynev, Chas V'Shalom. That there are these two that look similar. This person, Moshe Rabbeinu, should have the chas v'shalom, the azas, to write into the Torah about him. That's the biggest hypocrisy. He wrote that he's the most modest. That's the biggest joke in the world. Chas v'shalom, it's a joke. That's the highest form of modesty. And these other people who shuffle their feet or carry on in a very humble way, they appear very humble on the outside, when on the inside, Rahman al-Islam, they are very much Bali Gaifa. That Rahman al-Islam is the exact opposite. And what was the key to being able to figure out? How are they able to figure out which A's was Lashem, which was Lazazel? It was through the Gairo. Gairo means something that no human being is able to identify in his own. This is something which only Hashem is able to see. Hashem, who is Baichein Levavois, is able to look inside and to be able to tell which one is the soil Hashem, which is the Tachlis Hanova, and which is Chas V'Shalom, the opposite, which is the... And here, Rav Moshe Zal finishes off by saying that, therefore, if Hashem is the only one that knows it, to get this answer, you have to go to Hashem. This is requires tefillah. Person has to daven very, very hard to be able to distinguish between the tzaddikim amitim, the true tzaddikim in every generation, who are the ones who are zeichet to the tachlis ha'anivus, versus the mufursomim shel sheker, where their anova is classified as chanufa rachmar al-Islam. Their anova is considered the tachlis hageus. The fact that they act in this humble way, and their whole purpose of being humble is because they know that if they would act arrogant, people wouldn't come to them. People wouldn't respect them. Their whole purpose of acting modest is so that people should respect them. That's the hypocrisy. And in other words, so this requires tremendous tefillah for a person to be able to give the power to be able to distinguish between the tzaddik emes and the mefursim shel sheker. And so too with a person himself. A person has to daven very, very hard for Hashem to guide him. A person could sometimes make a mistake and think he could confuse himself and think he's carrying on in a very humble way, that this is called humbleness, modesty, when it's just the opposite. Or a person could think that something that somebody is doing is a tachlis hageus, and it's not. Halavai, we should be zeicha to daven as much as we need to daven, to be able to differentiate between the anova, which is the highest mid of kedusha, and this chanufa, which is chas v'shalom, the opposite. Baruch Hashem. One was the super youngest one. He's always in this embryonic state, and as such, he always has to be hidden. His light always has to be super, super hidden because of his danger. It's only very, very few that are to benefit from that light.
How do you know that one tried to be a farsi or something? Even a safer?
That's where it takes tremendous sechel. It takes tremendous. In other words, a person can't assume that Pirsum is the right thing. Because you think you're going to do something great, you're going to be mefarsim the light of the tzaddik, and chas v'shalom, a person could be doing it at the wrong time, or in the wrong place, or the wrong way, and he could do more harm than good, chas v'shalom. Because the Pirsum is not always a favor, chas v'shalom. It could be a very dangerous thing. A lot of times we have Arizal. He warned Reb Chaim Vitalzal, don't make me reveal this to you, because if I do, it's going to cause damage. If you recall, we told over the story of the Arizal, what actually killed the Arizal in the end was the fact that he was forced to reveal something before its time. Reb Chaim Vitalzal pressured him once, and it caused the loss of his son. Then towards the end of his life, there was another incident like this, where the Arizal told him, don't, and then he revealed it. The Arizal said that this year, it's going to be the end for him, for the Arizal, Rahman al-Salam. And if you recall, he said that that year the Arizal was nifter. Shortly afterwards, he passed away. See, it's not a joke. That this item of Pearson is a very, very, very delicate item. Hashem.